We're going to discuss Parshas Chayisara today. And normally what I like to do is to try to find one major chunk or one major unit or theme of the Parsha that has a few psukim in it and try to figure out what that theme is all about and how to integrate it into the Parsha, what role it plays in the Parsha. Today we're going to do something a little bit different. And we're going to find one single pasuk in the parasha, and we're going to learn what Chazal say on this pasuk. It's actually a Gemara in Bava Basra on Daf Tes Zayin Amid Beis. And we're going to try to understand that particular pasuk and its meaning. And in this context, we're really going back a little bit to Avram Avinu. You know, you would think that by the time we're up to Chayisara, you know, we finished with Akedas Yitzchak in last week's parasha. Now we're looking for a marriage partner for Yitzchak. So we would think that Yitzchak is going to be the prime mover. But as a matter of fact, we're going to find one verse in this week's parasha, which is going to give us an insight into Avram Avinu.
Talking to us, even though our country here voted against.
I was so disappointed. You know how we missed the Harper days.
Yeah.
The one with North Korea and.
I think his minority government is now limited very much. So yeah. I think his days are numbered. This is going to drop him like crazy.
Vayoka Melech Chadash Asher Lo Yodas Yosef. I mean, it's.
I don't think that's true, but anyway. Hey, so you have Tita also.
Yeah.
I apologize. Not an apology is absolutely useless. What a bunch of idiots. They're such a shun. I wrote the president the letter. I sent an email yesterday. I wrote the guy an email. I said, you're a Russian. The whole board's a bunch of a shun. I said, Paul, exactly there.
Does he know what Russian is?
I didn't write it. Obviously. But it was just on the calling Russian.
Yeah. Okay, you're both sides.
Is there a reason Nazism?
Very.
And they had for 7 years.
Very disappointing. You know. My feelings towards Canada have changed a little bit. Anyway. So let's go on. What is the...
He lacks minutes, but he does the right stuff.
What is the major verse that we want to focus our attention on today? You know, that Perek Chaf Dalet in Parshas Chayisara is dedicated to the marriage or finding a marriage partner, culminating in the marriage between Yitzchak and Rivka. But there's one pasuk that sort of introduces the entire parasha, and we don't know why. In a sense, we don't know what the relationship between this introductory verse and the entire parasha is. It says, Avraham zaken bo bayomim, v'ashem berech es Avraham bakol. So Rashi claims that the word bakol here is begematria ben. So Avraham had a son, and that's Yitzchak. And it was time to find a marriage partner for Yitzchak. The Gemara in Bava Basra quotes a different take on this pasuk, and that's Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Even tova haisa tluya b'tzavar shel Avraham Avinu. If we take this literally, it means that Avraham Avinu had tied around his neck some sort of pendulum that was made up of a very precious stone. And what was the power inherent in this Evan Tova? Shekol Chole, anyone who is ill, raw, so he sees this Evan Tova, Umiyad Misrape. So it had an amazing healing power. And I'm always reminded of Rashi in Perek Makom Shenogu in Sachem, Rashi says that Chizkiyahu HaMelech hid the Sefer Refuos, and Rashi claims because people were no longer praying to Hashem, all they had to do if they got sick was open up the Sefer Refuos. So you wonder if a person came down with a serious illness, he didn't have to pray to God. According to Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, all he had to do was take a look at the Evan Tova. In any event, B'shasha niftar Avraham Avinu min Olam, what happened after the death, the passing of Avraham Avinu? So this Evan Tov of Avraham still exists, even today. And it means that if a person takes a look at the sun, again, that could be dangerous, but maybe for a fleeting second, and he perceives this Evan Tova, he will be healed. So the healing power that was strong, so to speak, that was hanging over the around the neck of Avram now is projected onto the sun. Omar Abaye, Hainu Diyamri, Inshi, Idli, Yoma, Idli, Ktsira. So this was an idiomatic phrase that was Shogar B'Pi Abrios. When the sun comes up, then there's Hakala, there's a lightning, not lightning in the sense of a lightning that struck, but it makes your illness lighter. That's called Hakala. It's not so severe. You have at least a partial, but a very significant healing process as a result of the sun rising. What is this Evan Tova? How is it effective? Why is it hanging on around the neck of Avraham Avinu? And what happens after the death of Avraham Avinu? HaKadosh Baruch Hu places it begalgal achama, in the sun. There's so many questions that we could ask here to try to clarify what's going on. Today, we want to dedicate ourselves to the insights of the Chasam Sofer. And this is his commentary on Shas in Bava Basra. And he quotes the Kadmonim, the earliest. He quotes the Akedis Yitzchak and others. And many other Mefarshim come to the same conclusion. This Evan Tova is not to be taken in the material sense, meaning we're not talking about a physical healing, but rather a spiritual healing process. Avraham Avinu was the great teacher of his time. We know, as the Rambam describes in great detail, that idol worship was so common, and Avraham Avinu was going to teach the people a belief in one God. Later on we'll see how that connects with Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Avraham Avinu was endowed or blessed, you would say, with the Koch HaDibur, a tremendous power of influence through teaching. His Chachma, his wisdom, was expressed in everything that came out of his mouth. And in this case, the Tzavar, the neck, represents the upper part of the body, meaning the head. And with this teaching, Avraham Avinu was able to heal people spiritually. Who were these people who were so ill on a spiritual level? These were the masses and myriads of people who were idol worshippers. And Avraham Avinu begins his project in Charan, in the city of Charan, and then he continues throughout all of his travels to try to bring these people tachas kanfei Hashchina. That's what Chazal say in the pasuk, "Hanefesh asher osu b'Charan." These are the nefashos of the idolaters, which Avraham Avinu brought back to what we call tachas kanfei Hashchina. About Avraham Avinu, the pasuk says, "Vayita eshel b'Be'er Sheva yikra sham b'shem Hashem kel olam," and the Ramban elaborates on this, that the Vayikra B'Shem Hashem means that Avraham Avinu is publicly teaching the belief in one God. Says Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, what happens after Avraham Avinu's Ptira? How does his educational teaching, Hashpa process, continue even posthumously? And the answer is Tla'a HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Galgal HaChama. Says that some self, what that means is that if a person wants to recognize God, he wants to acknowledge the existence of the Creator. After Avraham Avinu's death, he didn't have that connection to be a disciple of Avraham, but he did have a connection to the Chama, to the Shemesh. And if he becomes aware of the amazing creation of the Shemesh, and there's so many amazing things about the sun, then He reveals with his contemplation, he reveals that which is inherent in that glorious, fantastic, almost supernatural functioning of the Shemesh, and that is that God is the creator of the Shemesh. This, my friends, is called in the language of philosophy the cosmological proof for the existence of God. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but you look out at the cosmos, you look out at the heavens, the stars, the sun, the moon, it's impossible that this could have just happened as a matter of chance, as a matter of some sort of natural process. It's got to be the result of God's creation. Now, there are two very important psukim here that we want to introduce into this discussion. One is in Yeshayahu HaNavi Perek Mem, and the other is in Tehillim, in the fifth psalm. In Yeshayahu Perek Mem, Yeshayahu HaNavi says, Se'u marom einechem, lift your eyes heavenly. U'ra'u mi bara ela, and ask yourself, who created this? You see the great celestial spheres in the sky, and you believe in God as a creator. The Rambam actually codifies this in the second chapter of Yesod HaTorah when he writes that we can come to belief in God by becoming aware of the beauty and the complexity of nature, what we call Marabu Masech Hashem, is Se'u Marom Einechem U'ra'u Mi Bara Ela. Again, we're going to have to discuss why the Shemesh is singled out, because theoretically one could look heavenly and see a host of different stars and constellations, the moon, etc., and ask Mi Bara Ela and try to investigate where did these celestial beings come from, how were they generated into existence. But there's something very unique about the sun, and the sun in contrast to the moon in this particular context. David HaMelech declares, Ki er'eh shamecha, when I look at your shamayim, at your heavens, ma'aseh etzba'osecha, this is the handiwork of your fingers, your reach, kochavim, all these celestial spheres, asher konanta, and then I declare, Hashem Adonenu ma'adir shimcha b'chol ha'aretz. Please note that the name of God, Hashem, is written Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. That's going to be very important. Usually, when we speak about the God of nature, and I perceive God through nature and the glory of nature, the complexity of nature, it's Elokim. Here it's Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, and we'll soon see, Amirtz Hashem, why. So let's just summarize everything that we've been saying until now. We have Avraham Avinu wearing this Evan Tova around his tzavar. Reb Shimon bar Yochai seems to assume that the healing process that the Chazal speak about is not a physical healing, but it is a spiritual healing. And this is going to be indicative of the Rambam's tremendous power of influence through speech to convince people that there's nothing to idol worship, it's just a bunch of bunk, and that rather there is one God. After Avraham Avinu's death, Rav Shimon bar Yochai insists that ability to transmit the oneness of God, the creator of God, and to prove his existence, now is transferred over to the Shemesh. The Shemesh here represents the celestial spheres, and Su'u Einechem Lamarom, lift your head, your eyes up. And then Uru'umi Bara Eila. David HaMelech adds, Hashem Adonenu, this is what we're going to declare when we see the heavens. So that's Hakofa Aleph for today. Now we get on to the more challenging part of this analysis. If we shifted our emphasis from Avram's healing in a physical illness to his healing of spiritual illness, then we want to ask, what are the root problems that cause these spiritual maladies? And the answer lies in the famous Mishnah, the fourth parak of Avos, Hakina v'ataiva v'akavod motzien es ha'odam mina olam. We have now three diseases on a spiritual level. We have jealousy, we have an unbridled hedonistic drive for pleasure. We have a desire for glory and for respect. Is there one underlying theme here that connects all three? Or flipping around the other way, is there one major attribute that could detonate or diffuse all of these three shrushim, the roots of all spiritual machlos? And if we can identify that one midah, that one attribute, then is that attribute connected to Avram Avinu? Is Avram teaching us X? He's teaching us something. And if we learn that something, we will completely neutralize Kina, Taiva, and cover the whole gamut. And the answer is yes. Avram Avinu personifies humility. He is the one who declares, Anochi Afar Va'efer. So now, it turns out that the Midah of Anova, if a person is humble, again, I'm just using that loose translation of the word Anov to humble, then he will be able to neutralize all these different shrushim. Obviously, if he's humble, he doesn't have to be jealous of anybody, because Anochi Afar Va'efer, I don't get more than I deserve, and I don't deserve much. But how does Anova undermine what we call Taiva, the tremendous craving and desire for passionate pleasure? How does Anova? Oh, here I could say Kavod. Kavod means an absolute desire for glory. Well, if you're a humble person, then your attitude is, I don't deserve glory. So we could probably get away with Kina and Kavod. Or we could understand that Anova would be the answer to Kina. We don't have to be jealous of anyone because we don't deserve to be in that place, wherever that person is. And certainly Kavod, I give up on my Kavod because I'm an Anov. However, it's not clear how Anova is going to neutralize the power of Taiva, if that's one of the basic ills of man. So who is Avram Avinu? Avram Avinu is the one who declares Anochi Afar Va'efer. He's the one who can teach people and uplift them spiritually and help them to resolve and heal all their spiritual evils. Avram Avinu, as the personification of humility, Anochi Afar Va'efer, gives us and teaches us that midah Anova, which will now undermine Kina and Taiva and Kavod. As a result, Even Tova Isa Tliya B'Tzavaro Shel Avram Avinu. This Even Tova, when a person looked at it, which means that he perceived the teachings of Avram Avinu, then like any other chola, anyone who's got spiritual difficulties or deformities or limitations will be healed by the mouth, the tzavar of Avram Avinu, when he teaches Anova. And if we could be dovek in Anova, then we can solve and heal all the spiritual maladies, as we said before. Kol chole ro'o so miyad nisrape. Anyone who rubbed shoulders with Avram Avinu, and he was influenced and impacted by the Anova, the midah of Anova, and he wanted to emulate Avram Avinu, he would have no problem with Kina, Taiva, and Kavod. And therefore we could say that Avram Avinu, through his teachings and his Anova, was able to solve all the medical problems in the spiritual sense of any individual who came in contact with Avram Avinu. If he suffered from either Kina, Taiva, and Kavod, which are the three sources and origins of sin, he would be immediately healed by the teachings of Avram Avinu, because Avram Avinu imparted the Midah of Anova. The Midah of Anova undermines all these Midos of Kina, Taiva, and Kavod. And therefore, we have to learn from Avram Avinu to be dovek, to be totally dedicated to the midah of Anova. And Mamela, as a result, we're going to be healed of all of our spiritual ailments. And that's why Rav Shimon bar Yochai goes on to say that when Avraham Avinu was Niftar, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu took that power of Avraham Avinu and he connected it with Galgal HaChama. What does that mean? The Galgal HaChama now as a replacement for Avraham is going to teach us the Midah Vanova. Now I ask you, because you're going to tell me this is Poshut, right? So I'm going to challenge you. Why is the Galgal HaChama, how is the Galgal HaChama meant to solve all my spiritual maladies? I understand that Avraham Avinu was teaching and imparting the Midah of humility, but what does that have to do with the Son? How could it be that the Son would replace Avraham Avinu as the teacher of humility? And the answer is, and we've spoken about this Gemara many, many times, the Gemara says that the Yoreach came in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam to complain. It's impossible for both myself, the moon, and the sun to share the malchus, the kingship over the universe. In other words, when Hashem says that Vayivra Hashem es shnei hamaoros hagdolim, that was the original plan, in which case the moon would be as great and as large as the sun. So they're both called gedolim. But later on it says hamaora katan, the memshel salayla, that's referring to the Yireach. How did the Yireach go from being a great, massive Ma'ora, which is Shnei Ma'oros HaGedolim, to being Ma'ora Katan? How did that happen? You know, we used to have a movie, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. So, Honey, I Shrunk the Moon. The moon was Ma'oros HaGedolim, and all of a sudden it's Ma'ora Katan. What happened in between? So Chazal tell us that the moon came to complain. I can't be that there are two Rosh Yeshivas to the same yeshiva, two Nesiim to the same Bezdin. And as a result, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shrinks the Yireach, because it was the Yireach who was not happy with its status. The Shemesh, on the other hand, was not insulted, or at least not emotionally insulted, by the fact that the Yireach is saying, hey, how can you be the same size as me? And as a result, God rewards the Shemesh. And the Shemesh becomes the Keser of Melucha for almost all posterity. We'll see at the end of the days, maybe things will change as far as the moon is concerned. But fundamentally, everything depends upon the great voluminous sun. And why was the sun zocher to merit such a great divine gift as being the king, as being the sun? And the answer is because of the Midah Vanova. So when we look towards the sun, we're not going to try to find the Evan Tova that was around Avraham Avinu's neck, but we'll try to find the Anova of the Shemesh. And how does that Anova reflect itself in the fact that the Shemesh was willing to take a back seat and accept the claim, or the demand, shall we say, of the moon, Ein Shnei Melachim Mishamshim B'Keser? Could it be that this would shed a light on a very important pasuk? The pasuk says, the Oavav, those who love God, Kitseis HaShemesh B'Gvuraso, they could be compared to the sun that appears on the horizon with all its glory, all its power. What's the connection between Oavav and Kitseis HaShemesh B'Gvuraso? And the answer is that Oavav are the people who, out of a state of humility, they are devoted to Hashem, dedicated to worship Hashem. These are the people who, in a sense, Ohavav are like Tzeis HaShemesh. Tzeis HaShemesh is Begurasa. What's the Gvura? To overcome this natural desire for Kavod. I'm the greatest, I'm the sun, I'm the greatest. No. It's Tzeis HaShemesh Begurasa. The sun rises and doesn't expect anything that's coming to it. It's an honor. She is an honor. And therefore, the Shemesh is not going to be insulted or complained by the fact that the Urayat says, well, we can't have two kings at the same time. And basically the Shemesh is willing to say to the Urayat, take it all. I don't care. You can have the honor and glory of being the Ma'ar HaGadol. Take it all. That's the Anova of the Shemesh. So after the death of Avram Avinu, the Even Tova around the Tzavra of Avram, which means the teaching of Avram, is now passed on to the Shemesh. That's what Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is telling us. And the Shemesh is the appropriate receiver, so to speak, of this power of healing, of this power of teaching the Midah of Anova, because it's the Shemesh that personifies the Midah of Anova. And it's interesting, we have a phrase in the Gemara in Yuma of Shomim Cherposam V'Einam Mashivim, or Nelovim V'Einam Olvim. You know, when somebody insults them, they swallow the bullet and they don't shoot it back. A tremendous Midah of Anova. And that is what happens after the passing of Avram Avinu. If during that period of time, after Avram's passing, someone would find himself ill, and I don't mean physically ill here, he has some sort of choli hanefesh, let's say he suffers from gaiva, from conceit, then in such a case, let him learn the message, the teaching, the personification of Avram, of Chesed, I'm sorry, of Anova, Anochi Ofer Ve'efer. Let him look at the sun, and the sun personifies the Midah of Anova. The sun is the Bechina of Al Nelovim V'Einam Olvim. And the sun is now going to teach us the Midah of Anova. If we emulate the sun, there will be zocha to healing all those spiritual ailments that we spoke about before.
Rav?
Yes.
Would this not make like a little bit of a problem that the Yisrael is constantly being referred to as the moon, compared to the moon?
Correct.
What are we trying to question?
Because eventually the moon does tshuva. And the reason why Hashem compares Klal Yisrael to the moon is because Atem Hama'at Mikol Ha'amim, and in that sense, although the moon at one point in its existence was jealous, and it was not willing to share its powers, because the moon felt, I'm the boss over here. You know, I'm the Ma'or HaGadol. Why do I have to share it with another Ma'or HaGadol? But all that changes. The moon becomes the paradigm of tikkun, of tshuva. And the moon in its smallness comes to accept itself as the smaller of the two luminaries. It reflects the light of the sun. And that's why we can benefit. I don't know, let me just think of the way I want to say it. If the moon reflects the light of the sun, it means the moon ultimately becomes not complacent, what's the word I'm looking for? Comfortable, let's say, with the fact that it's second fiddle. And the moon now acquires the Midah of Anova. And that's a rectification of its gaiva when it said, no, we can't have two kings, you know, simultaneously. The moon is a symbolic representation of Klal Yisrael, because Klal Yisrael has learned the lesson of Anova. And in that sense, we, the people of Israel, are represented symbolically by the Levana, because Levana, as I said before, did tshuva and accepted upon itself to be second online, because it reflects the light of the sun. It's no longer the original light of the sun. It's much smaller than the sun. It's not even a fraction of the size of the sun. But all this is something that the moon accepts. So we don't have to build the Colosseums like the Romans. You know, we don't have to do all that very impressive, you know, the pyramids of the Egyptians and all the other, you know, all the other great edifices of the countries of the world. We don't have to get involved in all that. We're ma'at mikol ha'amin. We're not impressed by the heroes and the mighty ones of the nations. We know that that's all superficial. That's all skin deep. And therefore we, the people of Israel, are very much represented by the sun. It also has to do with other elements. I'm represented by the moon, I meant to say. It's also indicative of other dimensions of the moon, and that has to do with the waxing and the waning and the Jew in Golus and the ups and the downs. And ultimately, we'll go back to the original creation of Shnei HaMaoros HaGedolim, and that coincides with the glorious eschatological view of the end of days, in which Klal Yisrael will be uplifted above the nations, and the nations of the world will acknowledge the greatness of Klal Yisrael. That's going to happen when HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Memale Pgimas HaLevana, and the Levana will be as it was originally, the Ma'or HaGadol, one of the two Ma'oros HaGadol. I hope I covered your question, Joe.
Yes, very well, thank you.
So now let's move on to what I call Hakafa Gimel.
Can I ask a question before you go on?
Yeah, please.
Okay, so where does the power of healing, or the Anova, whatever it is, do anything about Taiva? Did you explain that yet?
No, we still have that question. You're right, David. We have not addressed the question of how Anova is going to heal the tremendous Yetzirah, the passion of Taiva. I can only say one thing, which is not sufficient, but it's necessary to say this, and that is that Anova also indicates I'm happy with what I have. Taiva really is a reflection of the fact that I want more than I can have. But again, it's not, you know, we're not...
I would like to offer a different perspective.
Please, Bobby, you're the boss here. Go ahead, tell us what you say.
He's now the president of the shul, so yes.
Wow, okay. Now I really have to put you up there with the sun. Yes.
The idea of Anova is not Anova from other people only. It's the idea that you're an Anova because you recognize Hashem as being the ultimate power, and therefore you recognize that everything that you do is subservient to God. So therefore, the idea of a human taiva, if you have that anova of recognizing that really you should be doing everything that Hashem wants you to do, because it's not anivus mitzad another person, it's anivus of your own where you fit into the world view. You're
excellent.
Nothing.
Excellent.
Your whole purpose is just to do Hashem's bidding. So if you recognize that, then to give in to your own personal taivas would be against that.
Right, it would undermine the will of God. Excellent. Now I want to get to Hakafa Gimel, because this is really the punchline. We started with the pasuk at the beginning of Perek Chaf Dalet in Parshas Chayisora. Vashem Berech Es Avram Bakol. And we said that the Hakol here, according to Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, is a reference to the Evan Tova that was Tluya B'Tzavaro Shel Avram Avinu, and after his Ptira, it was established by HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the Galgal HaCham. Let's see if we can analyze this statement of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai about Hashem Berech Es Avram Bakol in a whole new perspective, a whole new light. We have a mitzvah called Vatikin. The Gemara in Masechta Brachos derives this from a pasuk, Yira'ucha im Shemesh, which means that when the sun comes out in the morning, sunrise, and it begins its movement for the day, at that point, according to the Torah's Hasod, which is the Zohar, the Shemesh actually, at the beginning of its day, declares the glory of Hashem. That's the Shira, the special song of the Shemesh. And the Zohar identifies that song with a pasuk at the end of Tanakh. Hodu Lashem, Kiru Bishmo, Hodiu Ba'amim Alilosov, Shiru Lo Zamru Lo. In other words, the sun is calling upon the nations of the world to glorify Hashem, to praise Him, Shiru Lo Zamru Lo. We will now follow and imitate the sun, and we will sing the same song of praises. Together with the sun, we will sing the same song every morning at Shachar's time, when the sun begins its maslul, its pathway, over the Galgal Haaretz, and it begins to give that light. That light is the light of Shira, the light of appreciating God, the light of understanding how glorious His creation is. We're going to sing this song. Klal Yisrael is going to sing together with the Shemesh. Mind-boggling concept. And the Gemara tells us that Vatikim, who love the mitzvos and cherish them, would recite Kriyat Shema and complete Kriyat Shema with the Bracha L'Achreo of Klal Yisrael, simultaneous with Hanetzach Chama, the moment that the sun appears, breaks through the horizon for the first time. And that's called Smichus Gula Tefillah, because immediately after Kriyat Shema we recite Tefillah. And this the Gemara derives from the Pasuk in Tehillim. It says, Yira'ucha im Shemesh Mevakshei Panecha. So that Rashi explains, what is this Yira'ucha im Shemesh all about? It's all about the awe that we feel at the moment that the sun rises, it breaks through, and at that moment we declare Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, we accept God's will, that's called Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim, and Rashi identifies that as the moment in which we complete Kriyat Shema with the sun reaching Hanetz HaChama when the sun goes out. The Marsha, in that sugya, Daf Tesa Mid Beis in Brachos, elaborates. And he writes that the reason why they made a takana to open up Birchas Kriyat Shema Shel Shacharis with Yotzer Or Ubore Choshech is based on a Gemara that's a little bit earlier in Masechta Brachos. And the Gemara there establishes that Bishah Shachama Zorachas, at the moment that the sun breaks through, the Malchei Mizrach Umarov, all the kings of the nations of the world, again, this is all symbolic, but they take off their crowns from their heads, and if they are idol worshippers, or shall we call them sun worshippers, they will bow down to the sun. Imagine, even the kings will take off their crowns with daybreak, and they will bow to the sun. At this point, Miyad Koeis HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Almighty God is very angry. Why are they bowing down to the sun? They're Ovdei Avodah Zorah. So Chazal established that we should, as a nation of monotheism, we should do something which is the exact opposite of the Ovdei Avodah Zorah. At the moment that the sun is going to break through, we're going to be completing our Kriyat Shema. And in Kriyat Shema, we're going to recognize God, we're going to talk about God as the creator of the luminaries, and we're full of Shevach Vodoya. And we open up the first bracha of Kriyat Shema, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Yotzer Or Uvorei Choshech. We express the fact that we have a pure belief that God created the sun. It's not that the sun is an independent deity which has its own original powers. No, it's God who's the Yotzer Or. And we're going to go ahead now and complete a process of Kabbal Shamayim, Kabbal Salmach Shamayim, which culminates at the moment of Hanetzach Chamo, at the end of Kriyat Shema. And that's the minhag of the Vasikin. So we begin to understand what is this whole Tfilas Vasikin all about. Again, many people who daven Vasikin will tell you Yeruchah and Shemesh, and they'll quote the Gemara here in Brachos in the first parak. But now we have a deeper insight. The whole purpose of Kriyat Shema is Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. This is the exact opposite. Lafuke, the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, the idol worshippers, who at that very moment are bowing down to the sun, where the sun breaks through the horizon with all its glory. And what we do at that moment is we just do the opposite. We will declare God's oneness, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and our commitment to subjugate ourselves and accept upon ourselves the will of God, never to violate the will of God. So now we are coming lafuki the toes, the mistake of the idol worshippers, and that's what it means that when the sun comes out, that's when we're going to finish our Kriyat Shema, and now we're ready for Tefillah. And Kriyat Shema is a declaration that God is one. It is His will that we want to follow. We accept upon ourselves a commitment to fulfill His will. Now we're ready to Tefillah. We start our Tefillah with a bow, and we're bowing to God. We're not bowing to the sun, we're bowing to the God. To God who created the sun. And that's what we said in the name of the Zohar, that both the sun and Klal Yisrael, at one moment in time, are synchronizing Hodu Hashem, Kiru Bishmo, Odiyu V'Amimu Losef, Shiru Lo Zamru Lo. A singular Shira, which is coming, Lafuke, to exclude and undermine all the idol worshippers. That's what's so important about the sun breaking through. And this is all a continuation of Avram Avinu's healing power. Avram Avinu teaches monotheism, and that's the Eben Tova, that's Tzlui Al Tzavoro. And now the sun becomes a catalyst for our belief in one God, similar to Avram Avinu teaching the belief in one God. So the Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, culminating with all the bracha, is going to be synchronized with Hanetzach Chamo, the moment that the sun appears on the horizon and now is about to make its orbit and reach its glory and its pinnacle in the middle of the day. And it all begins at Hanetzach Chamo. That's when we're going to synchronize with Hanetzach Chamo our song of praise, Hodulo Zamrulo, which is going to be exactly the praise and the song of the Shemesh. All this means is that the healing process in creating a real dedicated and devoted belief in one God is all dependent upon the sun. The sun is going to be the background, so to speak, or the jump-off point for our declaration of the greatness of God, our singing His praises. And now we're ready for Hakofa Dalet, which is perhaps the most fascinating of them all. The Gemara tells us in the Nedarim what's going to happen at the end of days. And it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu motzi chama min artika. The sun is somehow covered. We have to figure out what that means in a symbolic sense, conceptually. And at the end of days, God is going to take the sun and reveal it by removing it from the artika, from the concealment. What's going to happen at that point? Two things are going to happen. And they're antithetical, they're mutually exclusive, but they're both going to happen at the same time. Tzadikim misrapim ba. The good people will be healed. Vishoim nidonim ba. But the evil people will be burnt up by this very hot sun, which is taken out of its narthex. You know, the scientists even today believe that if the position of the sun, the distance between the sun and the earth, were to change by a couple of millimeters, then the earth would burn up. And that's what's going to happen when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take out the nartik, take out the sun from its nartik. V'zorcha lechem yirei shmi shmei shemesh. In other words, the same glorious sun that will shine in its most intense brightness as a result of God removing the Nartik is going to have two different effects. It's going to bring about a tzaddikim misrapim ba and rishoyim nidonim ba. And we want to understand why and how this all works. And the answer is because David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Ki Shemesh Magen Hashem Elokim. Watch this. There are two names of God. Yudke Vavke, which is Midas HaRachamim, and Elokim, which is Midas HaDin. The Shemesh represents both. The Shemesh on the one hand is Yudke Vavke. It means that the Or HaShemesh is a great boon, a great benefit for Klal Yisrael, for all the peoples of the world. HaShemesh is the Meir La'aretz La'adarim Olel. But the problem is that Havaya is too powerful, it's too intense. A human being cannot possibly tolerate the Or Gadol, the intense light of Havaya. That intense light of Havaya is above nature, it's supernatural. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that Havaya has to be mitztamtzem, it has to be, so to speak, restricted or constricted in the midah of Elokim. Elokim is the gematria of HaTeva. Now, don't ask me why we add the hey to the word Teva, because I'm perplexed about that. But in any event, if you call it HaTeva, and you give it a certain chashivas with the hey ayidia, you'll end up with the same identical gematria as Elo and then him. Why? Because Elohim is the name of God that conceals His deeper will of Yudke Vavke, and instead the world appears to be something like Teva, and the divinity is completely concealed. Now, what happens is that the Shemesh, which represents Havaya, is a bright light, and we don't have the kelim, the ability to perceive that light. It's so intense. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, puts the Shemesh into a nartik. That nartik is the name Elokim, which means the midah of din. That midah of din is a reflection of nature, as opposed to Yudke Vavke, which is above nature. But the light of Yudke Vavke, above nature, is so intense that even the greatest of tzaddikim could not possibly tolerate that light, even if you put on the strongest sunglasses that you can finally have during the month of July. However, Ki HaShemesh U'magen HaShem Elokim, the Shemesh has both Yudke Vavken Elokim, and they integrate together. That's called Shemesh or Chama Birnatika. And what's going to happen at the end of days when HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals the Shemesh? And now the light is going to be very intense. Tzaddikim misrapim bo. What does that mean? What's the healing process for tzaddikim? And the answer is that the tzaddikim have sacrificed tremendously with, you know, in their observance during the course of their life of Torah mitzvahs. They are moser nefesh. And what they're going to see in front of their eyes at the time of the end of the days in the Geula, when God will remove the Shemesh from its Nartik, they're going to begin to perceive how everything is part of a divine plan of Yudke Vavke. Instead of the Yudke Vavke having to be concealed by Teva, or by the name Elokim, if you will, now the Tzaddikim are going to be able to appreciate how whatever they did all their lives, every single stage, their Mesiris Nefesh, their Esek HaTorah, their Avoda, their Amuna, everything together, is all a great process. And it all brings about God's will and the fulfillment of God's will. And they're beginning to appreciate how every action that they did had an impact on the universe, and brought the universe closer to the fulfillment of God's ultimate will. The Rishayim, on the other hand, are going to see that aura, that light, and that's going to open their eyes, and they're going to begin to appreciate or recognize, acknowledge that they wasted their lives on Hevel Varik, that everything was a waste of time. So that same Or Gadol of Yudkei Vavkei, which will be revealed when Hashem takes the Chama out of its Nartik, the Nartik means the Elohim of Teva that's concealing the Yudkei Vavkei. Now the Yudkei Vavkei appears in all its glory. What kind of impact is going to have? Well, it depends. Let's start with the Rishayim. We'll go backwards. For the Rishayim, it's very detrimental. It's very depressing. Because the light of the sun, when it's not concealed by you, by Elohim, by Teva, that intense light of the sun reveals the truth about how much the Rishayim wasted their lives and they dedicated it to Hevel Varik, as we said before. In the case of Tzaddikim, that intense light, once it's exposed, because we remove the concealment of Teva of Elohim, that Yudkei Vavkei will reveal to them how every single positive act that they were involved in was bringing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ultimate purpose to its fruition. And that's going to be the ripui, so to speak, for the tzaddikim, that very often the tzaddikim in this world fail to see how all the efforts that they put in, the Mesius Nefesh, bore fruit. Now it's going to become crystal clear. And to just try to wrap this up, because I know it's getting late, the Baal Shem Tov says that the Ora Shemesh is the Anhaga of Yudkei Vavkei. Yudkei Vavkei, as we said before, is above Teva. However, it's covered and concealed by this Nartik that we spoke about, which is Teva, which is the name Elohim, because we don't have the ability to appreciate directly the Anhagas Hashem of Yudkei Vavkei. But we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as Yudkei Vavkei, is Neman. He is reliable. He will eventually bestow all the rewards and all the good deeds of the tzaddikim and all the Mesius Nefesh. He will make the light of the sun so intense that with a clarity of vision, the tzaddikim will see how everything that they did was part of a... they'll get schar for everything. However, for the Rishayim, we have a different issue, and that's called Hester Panim. And Hester Panim means that when God places the sun and its intense light into the Nartik, the Rishayim are completely lost. They are completely misled, because all they see is that Teva of Elohim. They don't see the Yudkei Vavkei, the essence of God. So when Moshe says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Parshas Ki Tisa, Hodieni no es darkecha, and the Gemara says, Amar Lefanov, what Moshe was essentially asking for was to solve the riddle of Tzadik Viralo Virasha Vitovlo. The answer that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him is going to be Liosid Lava, when Hashem takes the sun out of the Nartik, means he's going to remove that peel, that cloud of Elohim that conceals Yudkei Vavkei. At that point, we're going to see that everything is part of a plan. And even if it's Tzadik Viralo, it still is Tovlo. Again, you might ask, how could it be Ralo and be Tovlo? But for that, you'd have to see the Arachama, you'd have to perceive the Yudkei Vavkei, which we cannot perceive today, but the Tzaddikim will be able to achieve that goal at the time of the Achris Hayomim, at the end of days. Now, I know we don't have any time, but I just want to add one last point here. We've spoken about Hashem Beruch Es Avram Bakol, and we've spoken about the Ora Shemesh and the Shem Havaya, about the Nartik and Liosid Lavo. We spoke about the Vasikin that joined together with the Chama on a daily basis to sing God's praises. And last but not least, when this Evan Tova, which is Tluya Vitzavra Shal Avram Avinu, is going to heal the masses, it means that Avram Avinu is going to reveal to the masses of people that this world requires of us to be dovek, to be connected with the R, the light of Yudkei Vavkei, even when it's concealed in the Teva, when it's concealed by the Elohim, by the Nartik. And after Avram Avinu passes this world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to attach this healing process to the sun itself, because Yeruchim Shemesh, because that light will eventually reveal the intensity of God and Yudkei Vavkei, that everything is part of a Yudkei Vavkei, everything is part of Midas HaRachamim, and Tzadik V'Ralo is also part of goodness. And that's not something that we can perceive and recognize, acknowledge in this world, but Amir Tzashem will be able to do so at the time of the Achris HaYom.
So there's two other instances of that. I'm wondering if it's your time to read the whole thing. I'm wondering if it's in ties with the Gemara and Avodah Zarah, and the Gemara and Avodah Zarah.
Right, and they run out of the Sukkah.
And also by Rami of the Brit, it said the same thing. It came out of his case. So are these two other events tied to this also, or are they not? Like directly?
I really think you could weave this all together into this one package about how for the Rishayim, you know, the sun is really tricky. It's going to, in a sense, conceal the will of God, and then, you know, you believe in Teva, and you know, everything is part of everything is predetermined, and there's no room for choice and freedom. All this is a result of the impact of the Shemesh bin Artika, when Hashem uses the Midah of Elohim, which is the Midah of Teva, to conceal His ultimate will, which is the Midah of Rachamim, and is expressed in the name Yudkei Vavkei. Now, if you have the pages that I asked you to print out, then you'll take a look at page 3. And if you get a chance between now and Parshas Chayisara to read through page 3, that's all you need, you'll see amazing insights into the what's called the Hisorus of Dinim that come from the Shem Elohim, and how we can counter against those with the power of Yudkei Vavkei if we recognize that Elohim is just a nartik, it's just a film, so to speak, that confuses us, and that it doesn't give us a clear clarity vision of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Midah of Yudkei Vavkei. So if you get a chance to go through this, and you'll see that Avraham Avinu already in his time revealed a little bit of that R of the Shemesh before it was concealed by the Nartik.
Which also says after he fought with the angel.
Who, Yaakov?
And it says the son came out and he was healed. That's the concept. He understood that everything was from an understanding that it was from Hashem. Would you say that that could be a way?
Correct. Correct. Story? Absolutely. Excellent. So just to summarize our last point, which I think we called it Akaf Adalid, Liyosid Lavo, God will reveal His Hanhaga of Yudkei Vavkei, which is above nature, and the Tzaddikim will be healed with this revelation. It'll be Midah Keneged Midah. In this world, they Hotziu Bemunasom Chama Min Artika, their faith already revealed that deeper Yudkei Vavkei that is concealed by the Nartik, by Elohim, by Teva, and they were not, how shall I say, caught in the net of Teva. They rose above Teva. The Rishoyim, on the other hand, were always connected to this Nartik of Hanogas HaTeva, and that's the way they lived their life, and that was their philosophy. They could not possibly tolerate the intense light of the sun of Havaya without its Nartik. And now let's add one point. Based on what we've said until now, the Gemara says of Atikin, on the Dagdikin, they very, very careful and meticulous to finish and complete Kriyat Shema with Hanetzach Chama, because at that point the Chama breaks through, it's the sunrise, and the idol worshippers all bow down to the sun, and the idol worshippers are completely connected to the Nartik, meaning the Midah of Teva, and therefore they worship the sun. And we make the opposite declaration. We accept upon ourselves the will of God, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. In other words, even though in this world Anoga is Hashem Elokeinu, it's always Yudkei Vavkei together with Elohim. It's an Anoga of Havaya that is concealed by the name Elohim, which is Teva and Chama Ben Artika. But nevertheless, We believe Hashem Echad. We are Davuk in the Nahogas Hashem, which is Lamala Min HaTeva, the Yudke Vavke. We're not Davuk in the Nartik of Teva, like the idol worshippers. And therefore, when we complete Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, we synchronize that with the Chama, which is Yotzeis Min Artika, at the point of Hanetz. The Ovdei Kochavim, on the other hand, have the opposite response. They see the Chama bin Artika and they're totally dovuk in the Hanhogas HaTeva. And Rashi points out in Chumash that Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad means God who's now our God will ultimately be Hashem Echad, will be the God of all the nations. And the Pasuk says in Tzfanya, Ki oz efoch es amim sofa brura likro kula b'shem Hashem. Or in Zechariah, Bayom HaYuhi Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad, this is all a symbolic illusion that Liyasi Lava Kodesh Baruch will take the Chama out of the Nartika, and then even the Goyim will see the Anhagas Hashem, the Havaya, without the Hislabshus of the Nartik, of the name of Elohim of Teva. And we begin to understand what we saw in the Zohar, that the Shemesh breaks out every morning in its sunrise and recites Shira, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that Klal Yisrael also on its tarif, they also join in together with the Chama and they recite Shira. Hodu Hashem, Kiru Bishmo, Hodiu Ba'amim Oliosov. At that moment, when the idol worshippers are worshipping and bowing down to the Shemesh, then in Bokim, they are connected to the Nartik, Dan Hagas HaTeva, the Shem Elokim. At that point, we are aroused by the Shemesh with Shira, the song of the Shemesh, and we imitate the Hodu Lashem Kiru Bishmo, because we are Dovek in the Shem Hashem, which is Lamala Min HaTeva. The Yud Ke Vav Ke and Odiu Ba'amim Ali Losav, please God, reveal yourself to the nations of the world. They should no longer be Toim, they shouldn't make that mistake of being Dovek in the Nartik and Teva, but rather Hodiu Ba'amim Ali Losav, Hodu Lashem Yud Ke Vav Ke Kiru Bishmo, to see, to perceive, to acknowledge God in His essence as the God of Rachmanus, the God of Yudke Vavke, which is Lamala Min HaTeva. This is our hope and our prayer that Liyasid Lavo, the nations of the world, will come to that appreciation and that knowledge, that acknowledgement, and then it will be Hodu Lashem Kibishmo Diu Bamim Ali Losov. That should come about soon, speedily in our days. Kedi Ratzon Amen.